Hey, did you know we've got an Art of Hosting coming up?
It's pretty exciting. I mean, it's the first time we've run an open enrollment training of any kind at the outside, you know, that's face-to-face since we started the organization. And it's lovely to be going back to our roots to offer an Art of Hosting, also called the Art of Hosting Conversations That Matter, or the Art of Hosting and Harvesting Conversations That Matter.
Or the Art of Participatory Leadership.
Yes, many names.
But it is all in the outside style, right? Yeah. So this training will be 3 days, July 17th through 19th, 2024 in Nova Scotia. And it will be some of the things that if you know about Art of Hosting, you know, we'll be teaching facilitation methodologies and techniques. We'll be teaching about worldviews. It will be immersive and you'll be practicing. So that will be happening those 3 days.
Great. And what we can guarantee you is that you'll walk out with a sense of architecture. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you design participatory interventions into the places where you live, work, and play? And that is really the root of it. The methodologies, the toolbox is easy to download from the internet.
That's
but
right.
The architecture, the design architecture, your capacity to actually pull together those things or even make them up yourself will be dramatically increased. So we totally look forward to welcoming you to Nova Scotia. Myself and Choose are hosting it with Gabriel Donnelly and Jean-Paul Ganzoni.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You can absolutely get the methodologies online, for sure. But you'll get to experience them with an amazing group of people. The 25 people or so who have already registered are amazing, and I want to spend time with them. And then you'll get time with the outside team and benefit from our experience doing these processes all over the world. So please, please join us. Information is in the show notes. We'd love to see you in July.
See you then. Welcome to The Outside, the podcast. It's fantastic to have you with us. We're back in your ears, wherever you might be doing whatever you are doing. And it's great to be with you. And you know, and the delight about today, the delight, my friends, the dessert of your day is that it's just Tuesday and me.
That's it. Right.
That's it. Yeah. You don't even need whipped cream.
Nope. And Tim, to also that we, because of work travel and family travel, you and I haven't even talked for like 3 weeks, which is a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows what we're going to talk about? We did have a bit of a check-in this morning, to be fair. We had to get some stuff out of the way. You know, some stuff just isn't podcast appropriate, is it?
I mean, I think a lot of stuff isn't, but we seem to put it on the podcast anyway. So
that is sadly true.
Let's just see where we go today.
It is one of the most amazing things when you meet people and you're out and about, you're running sessions and people end up being listeners to the podcast. And they actually know quite a lot about me, like quite intimate things.
Right. More than you might share over a dinner or a coffee.
Yeah. Gets some getting used to, doesn't it?
It does. It makes me smile every time.
You think you're telling an original story and they're all like, yeah, heard that before, mate, on the podcast.
And then don't you hope like you tell it the same way, right?
Well, no, I hope I tell it a different way. Then I'm not boring, you know?
It's okay. All right.
Do you like to tell things? Because you don't want the...
Well, it's a little bit like, you know, memory's a funny thing or stories are funny things. And like, you know, it's not... I mean, I hope I remembered that detail. Sometimes you emphasize different things. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Yeah. I'm thrilled to hear. I love it I have to say, I'm with you. I get a little bit nervous, although I love it, when people tell me they listen to our podcast, because I'm like, what do they know?
There's a mate of Katie and I's from New Hampshire. He's a fantastic musician and storyteller. And he's always told stories. And he says this is like some Irish saying, but I have no idea if that's true. But he always says that, he says, don't let the facts ruin a good story.
Right?
You know?
Exactly.
Like that, you know?
That's exactly right. And also I found when I was a therapist, like I actually, you know how we do, listeners, some of you have been with us, we do this practice called generative listening. Right.
Yeah.
And we have people listen for facts, values, and feelings.
Yes.
And people have different proclivities. They have things they tend to listen for. Yeah. Right. They tend to like really like just the facts, or they tune into feelings, or maybe the values. And I am a person who tends to listen for feelings a lot. And I swear that comes from being a therapist and a trauma therapist, because the way trauma comes back is like in fits and starts.
right? And so it's not like a linear story where the facts always line up perfectly, but how you felt, it's like how you felt about it is the truth, right? Whether the facts come online exactly perfectly or there are gaps. And so I do have a tendency to just think facts are what we see them as today. I mean, I don't, you know, like not when people are like intentionally bending the facts, but that, you know, like they shift a little bit. Your feelings are what let you know.
Right. Well, I mean, I definitely believe that facts are subjective and, you know, but I think I'm a listener for values.
Mm.
I think I'm often listening for values. And it was because if I knew somebody's values, I could navigate the circumstances safely.
Right. Yeah, totally. Right? Totally.
But I mean, it's become quite a useful skill as an adult as well, to be able to like listen, hear in, you know, reflect back clarity on people's values, but also support them, iterating them or changing them or getting to the beliefs that underlie them more, you know.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's
great. Hey, look, we've had some pretty good podcasts recently.
We have had, and really different, you know, both of these podcasts were they were different from each other and different from podcasts we've had in the past.
Yep.
We had Crystal Scholten here from Rios, Brazil, talking about her work.
Yeah.
And we also had Janine Haugen, I think is how you say her last name, and Laura Blakeman in from the Animus Institute talking about their work with nature and change and transformation. And boy, both conversations were quite provocative, I think. I'm thinking about Laura and Janine beginning.
Yeah, let's go.
Because I think, you know, I'm sure I said on that podcast how whenever I talk with them, I'm like, whoa, I never thought about it like that. Oh, that's a really different way. Mm. What is amazing to me, and that, you know, they brought a lot of good content, but the kind of feeling I'm left with, if we just go like right back to what we listened for, the feeling I was left with was a deepening commitment, a deepening curiosity, a deepening kind of inspiration by the way they engage with the natural world. Mm. It's just like they're just kind of masters of that being the way they walk through the world and engage with it in a way that I think I could at this moment only kind of aspire to. And yet, in talking with them, I felt like more curious about how to do it, more committed to doing it, and really quite inspired to do it.
Mm. Yeah, I loved it. I loved that pod. I mean, it's such a reflection of my own belief system, and they're so able to be explicit about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, it's just something I do every day. It's a relationship I have that is kind of like deeply personal. I don't think about it as a collective anything. It's just like a, you know, I don't even, you know, maybe I'm an animist.
I think maybe you are.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean I'm into anime.
I found that even the conversation with them made me more brave in naming the different kinds of beings that we're surrounded by.
Yeah. And then also it made me aware of some of the choices I've made
closer
to that. Well, I mean, as you know, I was just over in the Netherlands with my daughter. She's accepted a place at a university in the Netherlands. And I lived there for 5 years before moving to Canada, right? And had a company there called Engage Interact, which was
of course
good times, people, good times. Lived in Utrecht, and before I left the Netherlands, I remember there was, you know, these. I lived in this house of like 32 young professionals, and there was like four kitchens in the house, and we would share the kitchens.
Okay.
It's lovely, it's lovely. There was an old chapel in the house. It used to be a Benedictine kind of situation. And it sounds a lot more ornate architecturally than it was. It's actually just a pretty standard kind of red brick building. But anyway, we had a chapel in it and a garden. It was cool. I really loved it. But there were these magazines that would turn up. And I remember one of the magazines being on the breakfast table. So I'm down there having my coffee for Kiert in the morning. So just been in Holland. Ik kan een beetje Nederlands praten nu.
Wow.
Goed zo, hè? So you got to show off a bit of language when you've got it, haven't you?
Yeah,
so
for sure.
So this is a very long story. I apologize, listeners. Thank you for bearing with me. I hope the humor along the way has kept you interested. So I get to this magazine and I'm reading through it. And this was just when I was making the decision about with Katie about whether we would leave the Netherlands and move to Canada. And there was these two young lads early 20s. And what they'd tried to do in the Netherlands, I'm sure, have I told you this story? They had like a handheld dictaphone. Remember those old handheld dictaphones?
Totally,
yes.
They'd
have those little kind of square tapes you put in, click, hold it up, hit record, you know, with the buttons. So they'd gone in the Netherlands and they'd tried to find somewhere in the Netherlands where they could click record on the handheld dictaphone and not capture human-made sound, right? And they weren't able to do it. And I was like, fuck this. Excuse me, listeners. Sorry, that was me just talking to my friend Tuesday. I was like, whoa.
Gosh, golly. I can't believe it.
My goodness. This is not where I want to raise my kid.
Wow.
Because that relationship to nature has been so important to me, that ability to access something that feels distinct from the human world, that feels like a container from the human world, for the human world, you know? I think so many of my choices have been guided by the underlying values. See, you picked up emotions, I picked up values. Ridiculous human. So many of my choices have been driven by, underlying values that are very similar to what the folks at Animus are saying and talking about, you know. So I think often when we talk about these things, they can come across as quite esoteric. They can come across as like high concept, high level, you know. But actually what's underneath that is a set of beliefs that guide our decision-making on pivotal moments or day-to-day moments. I've just got back from being away and I'm making sure I get out for half an hour, 45 minutes every single day into the woods at the moment. So it just grounds me back. I've been away a week and I'm on a different time zone, and getting out into the woods just grounds me back into my life here, you know? And so these are very, very practical choices that have a direct impact on how I turn up, but they're values driven. They're, you know, and so I've just, I was, you know, when I was thinking about back to that, I was thinking about how important that was for me. It was an important reflection on like how I've approached my life and some of the very concrete things I've chosen to do with my life.
Well, I have two responses. One is, and isn't it interesting that firstborn child who you left the Netherlands because you wanted to have a different experience is now moving back to the Netherlands for
coming
a short amount
there.
Of time. Yeah. Just as, I mean, like what a... I kind of like it. It's kind of full circle, right? Because she's
totally
had this upbringing, right?
Yeah.
Which has been, you know, close to a place where you can be outside of nature. And then I was thinking, or you can be outside of human noise. That's so amazing. I was just actually in Banff with Laura Blakeman, who was one of the guests, Laura and Janine.
Oh, right.
So
of course you were.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
So I was just in Banff with her. And I was thinking how when you said, like, it sounds so esoteric, right? But it's actually quite practical.
Yeah.
She and I had a conversation. So she's a wilderness guide, is one of the things that she does, right?
Mm.
And we were having a conversation on equity and safety. Mm. And I kind of leaned over to her at one point and I was like, how is this conversation landing with you? Because you take people out in the wilderness, part of the time they fast while they're out there. And safety is just like a whole different thing, right? Safety is like, be careful the mountain lions, not I don't want to have this conversation because I feel unsafe.
Don't go too close to the edge of the cliff.
Right? I was just like, you know, like how I just like, I was really curious because, you know, I mean, like the listeners will know
that's
and you
so
know,
great.
Sometimes the conversation on safety just drives me nuts. I'm like, we're all friggin' safe here, people. We're just in conversation.
Right.
Like there's no harm, even if your feelings are hurt, right? Like we're safe. And it's actually an amazing amount of safety that we can have a conversation around safety. Anyway, don't let me get started.
Coming from someone who has like an extended background in domestic violence, right?
Oh,
your
yeah,
work.
Totally.
I mean, I just to frame that for anyone who's new to the podcast, Tuesday is actually speaking from a context of working in highly unsafe environments.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that that's the other thing that like is amazing to me too. Like we're going to leave this room and no one's going to get beat up tonight. Right.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like it just like, there's just like a whole different frame. So I kind of leaned over to her and I was like, how are these conversations for you, right? Mm. Who are like actually in charge of people's physical safety in significant ways for a good portion of your work. And she's like, yeah, yeah, sometimes it kind of drives me nuts. She's like, but, you know what I mean? Mm. She's like, but, you know, like they're just certain, like she's just like so cool as a cucumber. But I think part of that coolness, part of that equanimity, part of that unruffledness is because next week she'll be out with people in the wild doing meaningful work. And so it's almost like in one way you could frame it in the way that I was framing it, right? Which was like, ah, you know, how could we have this conversation around safety? It's not real. Or you could be where she's framing it's like, ah, you know, safety's a continuum. Next week, safety will feel like, you know, being afraid of wolves. And this week it's, you know, like, how does that word land for people? And so I just really appreciated almost the facility, right? Because if you believe that there are different beings, right? If you believe that the rocks are beings and the animals are beings and people are beings and, you know, maybe that it just gives you, I think, a bigger, broader, deeper scope with which to respond than it's maybe some of my knee jerk.
It is all alive.
Yeah, exactly.
And it is all interconnected and it is all interdependent.
And that conversation was slow. Do you remember? I feel like when we got on the phone with them, like the conversation slowed because not only do we know that all is alive, we know that all aliveness works at different timescales, up to and including the Earth, which is a geologic timescale. So where are we going?
Yeah, I mean, that stuff, I mean, I loved that conversation because of that, because it just reflected so much back to me. It called me into my own set of beliefs. I mean, you know, I said things on that pod that I don't really admit to anyone, hardly even to my wife. You know, when I walk out of hotel rooms and say thank you to all the invisible spirits in there or whatever, I'm not even sure spirits is the right word. It's just something I've always done since I was knee high to a grasshopper. Whenever I'm leaving a space, I've always turned around and said thank you to the space for things that have happened. Thank you for the good night's sleep. Thank you for the lack of sleep and looking after me during that period. But there's some kind of underlying acknowledgement that it's all alive in me, you know. Anyway, yeah. And then we had Crystal Shulton, didn't we?
That's right. Who has been your friend for years and years.
Actually, also who I met back at this, it's a Netherlands podcast. When I worked with Engage in the Netherlands, she was one of the first people who brought me into like a big, big client with ABN AMRO. So I was thinking of like, what a leap of faith. I mean, I was a pretty like, you know, I was pretty out there as a young man, you know, to be brought into a banking situation and working with senior leaders in a bank, you know, and I'm like, let's get them all doing two-part singing and body percussion. Let's go, you know. And then we also did this youth change community. And I think it took a lot of courage for her to bring someone like me in. And that courage has just continued, isn't it? It's just, you know, hearing her talk about her work and the kind of like courageous commitment to like driving change, you know, against the odds, often in systems and circumstances that don't necessarily get it, but she's just found a way. And
that's right.
It's beautiful for me to reconnect and just kind of like, again, circle back round and hear the stories of someone's life who I worked so closely with for like 3 years.
Well, that was so cool that you all had such a deep history. And also, you know, I think that we can hear, you know, about folks or see what they're doing in the world. And Rios is doing amazing things in the world. And like, you know, she worked, you know, at this big bank. And you can kind of feel like those folks are different from you, right? And like, when she talked about her journey there, it was really one of curiosity, right? Like, oh, how do we do that? Okay, so I'm going to go learn that because I want to try to do that, right? It was actually quite a humble journey to doing really great work, which I just thought was a lovely way to understand her work. Because I think sometimes we think about people who are doing this work and we're like, oh, I couldn't, or I didn't, or how did that happen? Or, you know, and it's just like, once again, just kind of following. And yes, I think without a doubt, this is a person that turned into her curiosity, like turned into herself and her curiosity to say, okay, what do I want to do? Which I think might be the trick, right? Versus what you think you should do or, you know, what you think your options are, but kind of like turning into yourself and saying, what is it that I want to do? And how would I learn more about that? And like, and just following it.
Well, it's scary, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Especially, I mean, just thinking about myself now, but like, especially, you know, later on in life, it's less scary when I was in my 20s.
100%.
A little scary when I was in my 30s. But when I'm getting into my 40s, you know, and 50s, and you know, I'm 49. I got my age wrong. Actually, I'm 48.
You're about to turn 49. That's right.
Yeah. I have lots of caring people who correct me when I get my name wrong. So tragic, isn't it? Yeah. But like, so I'm 48, and so 50s are coming soon too. And that there is, it's a bigger, the older I get, the more kind of like risk it feels to follow my curiosity. And like how Crystal's just always done that, you know, driven by a book she's read, an experience she's had, a desire for an experience, you know, there was just this openness. And like, I'm even finding it in my life, you know, I'm running a soccer, as everybody knows, because I can't help talking about it all the time. Nearly got through a podcast without talking about it. But I was chatting to you today, you know, about how, you know, what I'm realizing in the coaching and in the sport coaching world is that a lot of people are working with young people, but they've never done any youth worker training. They've never done any facilitation training. They've never done anything that actually trains them to work with and develop the kids as opposed to, or in addition to the player.
That's right.
You know, the ability to build a culture within a team, to build a culture across a club. You know, and realizing that's a level area of expertise I've got, you know. So now I'm kind of in this question, curiosity around, oh, is there some way I can kind of offer some training around that? You know, and like in my 20s, I would have already written it and it'd be up on a website, choose. I would have done it on the flight home, you know, but like,
totally.
I was thinking about it, and I, you know, contemplating it. And, oh, you know, it's a lot of work, isn't it? And then I got, you know, go your way up, love, you know. And so there's all that going on. So the curiosity, I have to, I mean, I'm curious, and I do hope I end up there or something similar to it. But it takes some discipline to turn into it now, because there's so many layers of life unfolding.
That's right.
Around me, upon me, underneath me, you know, in me. Yeah.
There's so many layers of life unfolding. Sometimes you kind of know what you don't know more than you did at 20, like when you don't know what you don't know. I'm thinking about it.
That's so true.
I think it's often attributed to Jung, but just in her book today, I saw it attributed to Thomas Merton. This idea that we spend, you know, we spend the first part of our life, your 20s and 30s, like climbing the ladder. And then in our 40s, we realized we put it against the wrong building.
Shit.
Exactly. And so like, that's like a huge like shift, right?
Oh God, Tuesday, against the wrong building. There's not even like an opportunity to iterate. You just have to like move the entire fucking ladder.
Right. Yeah. Oh. So that makes sense, right?
Just at least hope it's on the same street, you know, or in the same town. Who knows? You're right though. You're right.
Right? It feels risky. And so like, yes, again, the only compass we can have then is, what is it we want to do? What is it that's meaningful for us? You know, I mean, I guess you could keep climbing the ladder. You can keep doing the thing, but I don't know that that works for people like us. You just got to figure out like what it is. Okay. Right. So maybe it's not a different ladder. Maybe you grow wings. I don't know.
Tuesday Reinhardt does coaching. If anybody's interested, she will blow your mind in every 90-minute session. Suggest or 60-minute session. Yeah, just maybe you grow wings. Oh, I love that. That's exactly right, mate. That's exactly what. There's me thinking about it one way, you know. But you're right. Yeah, maybe we grow wings. Maybe that's what the second half of life is about.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love that. I just love that. I had something else to say, but I've completely forgotten it now because of that comment. That was great.
Well, thank you. I know, we're in it, Tim. We're in this. Hey, I turn 50 next week. That's what's happening. We're in it.
Yeah, you do. I do. I know, but you look like 35.
Oh, God love you. God love you.
Come on.
Well, I'm going to take it. you know what? Maybe 35, I would have tried to talk you out of it. At almost 50, I'll be like, thank you. I'm glad your eyes are getting worse.
No, I see clearly, Tuesday. I see clearly. Yeah. Yeah, there is something about that. You know what? And here's the thing I remembered. It's come back to me. Is this, you know, both Crystal, but also the kind of animus folks, you know, that they seem to have practices that connect them to their compass.
That's right. That's it. Yeah, that's right. Oh, so good.
And so like when you're describing, you're like, you know, well, what? I was like, what is it? And you're like, well, purpose, curiosity. But like, actually, there's also like, there is an inner compass thing, isn't there? You know, we do need practices to connect to that. Or
that's right.
We risk spending our lives climbing the ladder up the wrong building. Whole lives.
Yeah, that's right.
And then maybe you get to the top of a building, you're like, you know, maybe you never even get there. But like, you look back and you're like, shit, should have grown wings.
Right.
So I think there is something in that. It's like, what are our practices to reconnect to our compass? You know, with the animus folks, it is that relationship to nature. And with Crystal, she's obviously been a meditation practitioner. She, you know, she also has a really strong relationship to nature and to healing in relationship to nature too. So I think, you know, vision, you know, doing vision, she talks about doing these vision quests, didn't she, going out. And so I think like these, maybe that's a question for all of us, readers, you, me, you know, like the listeners, readers. That's right.
Both.
Yeah, sure. And so I think that's it. Yeah. What connects us to a compass? What are the practices we have to connect us to a compass?
That's the thing. That's
all these
the
different
thing.
Parts of our life, you know. How do we stay awake to the journey we're on? You know, so we're able to participate in it rather than it just carry us, you know.
That's right.
What are you finding? What are your most helpful practices at the moment? What are you doing?
Yeah, well, I think there are a few. I think there, you know, journaling. I know that sounds wild because it's so basic, but that feels like the practice that never lets me down, right? Never, like every time I go to my journal, I'm going to discover something about my truer self. Journaling really consistently. I mean, I have probably kept a journal consistently for at least 6 years. Like almost daily, just like being with it. Being in nature for sure connects me with my compass, but it's almost like being in nature reminds me who I am in a big scope, and then I can get to my compass, right? But it's like, there's something about the interconnection, which almost feels like opposite of my compass. Do you see what I mean? Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, it's like,
totally.
And so being in nature is like key to it because it somehow fits me in some place and then I can find it. And then I would say two other things that are just really key. Prayer was just like really important to me in like calling on the divine. And that can be the divine in me sometimes, but it can also be like a divine outside of me. And then, you know, I've got this Akashic Records practice that's really important to me. It really, really helps orient me to my own path in a very surprising, unexpected way. But it's like kind of really consistently if I'm struggling or if I'm unsettled, like going into the records really helps. Mm. How about you? What are your practices?
Yeah, I mean, I have a meditation practice that I learned from Prem Rawat, as you know, years and years ago, and that's just like a go-to place for me, you know, for the kind of four techniques. And so that's just like, especially, you know, I'm on Euro time, so I wake up at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
And so I often wake up and then I'll just like meditate for half an hour, 45 minutes. And it's great just having these practices that feel so familiar that I've been like doing for, I don't know, must be knocking on 20 years now on and off.
Yeah.
And so that's one thing. Nature I've talked about a lot on the pod, so I don't want to say much more about that. But, you know, it did remind me when you were talking, like, when I was over, I was just away with Emma in the Netherlands, as I was saying earlier. And when we were there, she was asking me, she said, you know, she came into this little kitchen of the Airbnb we were in. she's got, I've got something to ask you, you know, because you always seem pretty comfortable in social situations.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, yeah, I'm deceptively comfortable. That's great.
Uh-huh.
As in, I don't always feel comfortable inside, but I definitely portray confidence in social situations, you know. And she said, and so she's like, well, how'd you, because she was going off to Germany to see a friend.
Uh-huh.
And she knew that she was going to end up in a whole bunch of social situations with a whole bunch of very cool urban kids from Berlin, uh-huh. you know.
Uh-huh.
And she was worried about it, you know. And she's like, well, how do you stay confident? How do you not spend your time worrying what they're all thinking about you all the time?
What a good question.
Right?
Yeah.
And I said, you know what I do? Is that often when I'm in situations like that, I think about the people who actually define me. And it's very rarely the people in the room.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
So I think about Katie, my wife.
Uh-huh.
And that she's just going to love me unconditionally, regardless of what happens in this situation.
Great.
And so is my son, Elliot, and Oliver. And I was like, and so are you, kid. So is my friend Tuesday.
Yeah.
My friend Francis.
Yeah, that's right.
Carl, Gary, Eugene, Zoe. I mean, there's people who know me deeply, uh-huh. love me deeply.
Yeah.
And in some ways, their love defines me, like helps me remember who I am.
Mm. Oh, Tim, that's so beautiful.
And so I was like, so whenever you're worrying about what all those people are going to think about you, who you don't know and you may never see again, just remember you've got people who define you. Who love
yeah.
you for who you are, and you don't have to worry about what any of them think. You know? So I think that's a practice for me too, actually, you know, is really reminding myself that I'm loved
mm-hmm.
for who I am, you know, by a circle of people I really trust.
Mm-hmm.
And that just brings me home again and again.
Oh, so yeah. good.
Nice, huh?
Yeah. And how nice, I just want to say also, just like how nice, that what a big circle you have. Like that's really
yeah. Well, it's grown over the years, right?
Yeah, yeah. But it's beautiful.
It's taken me some time. Yeah. Some are friends who are daily and some are friends who are weekly and some are friends who are annual. But they're just, uh-huh. you know, these, I mean, deep relationships.
Oh, I love it. That feels like the place to end on today.
Let's do it.
Just encouraging people like to think about their practices for finding their compass, but also like who defines you? It doesn't have to be 12 people. It can be 3, but like, that's a great place to lean into.
Mm. Take care, my friends. Have a lovely rest of your day or your evening or your morning, wherever you're at. And may the wind be at your back.